This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I just left Walter Reed Medical Center, and I learned so much about coronavirus. And now I'm better, and maybe I'm immune. I don't know.
I'm now more powerful than ever. I'm invincible.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
And one thing that's for certain, don't let it dominate you. Don't be afraid of it.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
What does that mean, don't be afraid of it? I mean, first of all, it's a contagious disease that kills people.
We're all gonna die!
It's such a distressing moment.
I literally was overwhelmed.
Heartless. It is cruel.
It's outrageous.
It's okay to be afraid of COVID, and it's okay that it's dominating your life because it has dominated your life.
Everyone should be afraid of COVID.
Be afraid, tremendously afraid, for the day of reckoning is upon us.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
We're in the middle of a pandemic that had cost us more than 85,000 jobs as of today. Lives of millions of people.
Unnecessarily, now we have over 120 million dead from COVID.
200 million people have died, probably by the time I finish this talk.
There's a lot to be concerned about. 210 million increased their chances exponentially.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I'm coming back. And I want to see these beautiful young ladies. I want to see them dancing when they're 4 years older, too.
Jeez, what a dirty old creep.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Breaking news from St. Louis. A grand jury has indicted Mark and Patricia McCloskey, those lawyers that stared down the Antifa mob. Remember that? On charges of exhibiting guns at protesters in a June incident in their neighborhood, and added a charge of tampering with evidence for both members of the couple. And I guess this wasn't unexpected, and the governor of Missouri has already said that he will pardon them if it comes down to that. But naturally, they're very angry about this.
When does the looting and rioting start?
Yeah, exactly. Mark McCloskey said he was at the courthouse today before the indictments were handed down. They broke down our gate. They trespassed on our property. Not a single one of these people are now charged with anything. Because the rioters weren't charged. The people who defended their own property and their lives, they're charged. This is life in a post-republic America, post-constitution America. We're charged with felonies that could cost us 4 years of our lives and our law license. What you are witnessing here is just an opportunity for the government, the leftist Democrat government of the city of St. Louis, to persecute us for doing no more than exercising our Second Amendment rights, McCloskey said. We'll have more on this as the days go by. 844-500-4242. Joining us now is a guy who last night discovered, much to his chagrin, although I guess he probably was expecting it, that 3-on-1 is Democrat fun. Last week, President Trump found out 2-on-1 is Democrat fun. You were even more ganged up on, Kevin O'Connor, Republican candidate for the Senate.
Hello.
Yeah, I mean,
Howie.
How was it? How was it?
Remember Maxwell Smart? They used to talk about how he was being surrounded, and then he would say, you know, they would tell him he was totally surrounded, and then he'd say, and loving it. it was fine. It's a ridiculous commentary on our senator that he's afraid to debate more than once. I'm not afraid to go in front of Jim and Marjorie, and I think we did pretty well.
No, I think you did well too.
But it is a reflection on Ed Markey that he's afraid to debate again. It's a reflection on Ed Markey that he's afraid to debate in front of neutral moderators. And that weakness is not lost on his Senate colleagues. This is the same guy who was afraid to vote for the Green New Deal after he offered it. So he is a woeful representative for the state of Massachusetts, and the level of cowardice that he's showing in terms of debating me is characteristic of how he behaves in Washington.
Now they
that's
put
why
you,
he's so ineffective.
They put you guys in different rooms, and you're always at a disadvantage when you're in a different room than the others in the debate. Did he approach you? Did you talk to him in person, or did you just, or was he too afraid to even come within 15 or 20 feet of you?
So I called to him. I called to John Wallace, and I said, "Hey, John," and then they circled back, and the four of us had a brief interchange of pleasantries. So,
oh, that's good.
But,
so he did.
No,
he did talk to you a little bit.
That was after they had dipped us in sanitary products from head to toe to make sure.
Was he wearing a hazmat suit as he approached you? So I'm driving home last night, and it suddenly occurred to me, I can listen to this on the radio. So I tuned it in, and this is the first question that I heard, and I was not surprised, but still, it was rather appalling. Cut 26.
Kevin O'Connor, did you support the president's tax cuts, which, as you know, mostly went to wealthy people and have caused the biggest deficit in our history? And what would you do to support people who are still unemployed during this pandemic?
When did you stop beating your wife, Kevin?
In the law, we call that an objectionable multi-part question and leading the witness.
They weren't even, it wasn't even subtle though, Kevin. Was it?
No, subtle is not how I would describe it.
Yeah. And the one thing that I was surprised at was Markey said that he supported the president when he issued the ban on travel from China. I was really shocked that he would cop to that. Weren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yes. A profile in courage. So I went after him for 40 years of weakness with respect to communist China and 40 years of selling out the American worker. And he basically admitted it was true. And all he could identify in 40 years is that he supposedly didn't object when the president shut down travel from China or air travel from China.
Yeah. Let's play cut 24 here. This is Marjorie again starting here. Go ahead. Cut 24.
Hey, you are a United States senator, and your communications have importance in terms of our global stature.
For the third time, Mr. O'Connor, I agreed with the president at the end of January. Let me just restate that.
It's a record of weakness.
Kevin O'Connor, I just want to be clear about one thing. You are blaming communist China as opposed to the millions of Americans who have been in close contact with each other, not social distancing and not wearing masks, and the president has not worn masks very much himself. You're blaming communist China for 200,000 plus deaths in the United States?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Hell yeah.
What is she in on the Andrew Cuomo description of it as the European flu? Is that it?
Yes. Yeah. Imagine that. The virus that originated in Wuhan and about which the Communist Party lied on a repeated basis, that we'd somehow blame them.
So you're blaming the American people for smoking cigarettes rather than big tobacco for furnishing them with those coffin nails for all those decades, Mr. O'Connor. Let's see here. Okay, so this is Marjorie trying to debate you on Roe v. Wade. Go ahead, cut 30.
With her face to face.
But you support justices that were appointed to the Supreme Court because they are pro-life. Massachusetts voters have indicated over and over again that they are pro-choice. So how come you support those justices who may end up taking away women's reproductive rights?
The personal position of a judge isn't what's relevant. The question is, will a judge respect the rule of law, the Constitution?
I guess you could have gotten more intellectual with Marjorie, but it wouldn't have done much good, right? Like, you could have pointed out that if by some chance Roe v. Wade was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court, there's nothing would stop the legislature in Massachusetts from passing legislation to keep abortion legal the next day, right?
Correct. Absolutely correct.
Howie, can I just add in here to Kevin? A lot of his answers were great,
but I had to pull the questions because they were so incredibly unfair. And they were, like you said, leading the witness. So it's not that we didn't love your answers, but some of these questions were just set up in such a way to make you fail. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. You know, Kevin, do you think you should have gone even harder on him, though? You know, I heard I heard Holly Robichaud on our CAPE affiliate today, WXTK. She said you ought to go out to Logan Airport and just say, you think Logan Airport is deserted right now? If the Green New Deal passes, there ain't going to be need for a Logan Airport. Do you think you should go after him on those levels? I mean, because he is married to the Green New Deal. It's ridiculous that he gets away with it.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah, we're going to take it to him. And he's married to the Green New Deal, but he didn't vote for it.
He voted present again. That's his favorite. His middle name is present in the Senate.
Senator present, yeah. He is, and imagine how much respect his colleagues have for a guy who offers a bill, claims it's his signature achievement, and then doesn't have the guts to vote for it.
He spent 40 years dreaming of going to the Senate. As soon as he got elected to the House, he was scheming to get into the Senate, and his first vote was present, as you said. When he got in there. Here's cut 28. This, you gave a really good answer to the court packing question, and Marjorie moves on quickly. Cut 28.
Court packing is a terrible idea. It's been discredited by everyone. Justice Ginsburg said it was a terrible idea. No one of common sense thinks that Senator Markey's idea is good, and even the Biden campaign thought it was ill-advised. So he's outside the mainstream of his own party, let alone common sense thinkers.
Let's get to Roe v. Wade.
Let's get to Roe v. Wade. Let's get to some back alley abortions. And by the way, when are the seniors going to lose their Social Security when you're in the Senate? Mr. O'Connor,
they were all talking about how Justice Souter was going to be that he was going to take away all these rights. So this is the standard playbook. They do it for every justice, and it's totally unacceptable, but par for the course. And Ed Markey won't even meet with Judge Barrett.
I know.
Which is pathetic.
I know. Okay, Kevin O'Connor, where can people go if they want to learn more about your campaign?
KOCforSenate.com. K is in Kevin, OCforSenate.com.
Okay, you did a good job. You kept your head while all about were losing theirs, or didn't have much of a head to begin with, actually. But 3-on-1 is Democrat fun, and always remember that, Kevin. I don't think you'll forget it. Thanks for being with us. That's Kevin O'Connor, the Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate here in Massachusetts. Eden Pure will continue their buy one, get one free promotion for the Thunderstorm air purification system all week long. Eden Pure is able to do this due to the huge success from the Howie Carr Show listeners. The response has been tremendous, and Eden Pure is passing those savings on to the listeners. The Thunderstorm is a small device you can hold in your hand like I'm doing right now, as you can see on social media. Plug it into the wall. I used to be not allowed to heat up fish in the office microwave. I was shunned by the staff, but now with the Thunderstorm in the kitchen, it's fish galore. I can have whatever I want, and the Thunderstorm takes care of any of the odors. The Thunderstorm Eden Pure Thunderstorm works like a real thunderstorm. It quietly sends out super oxygen and ions to kill odors in your room, any room. Over the weekend, I saw my daughter Carolyn. She asked me if she could have one for her basement in her new home. She asked, does it really work? And I said, of course it does. You're not going to believe it. If you bought one for your home and enjoy the big difference in the smell now, take advantage of the BOGO offer and get a second one. Buy one for a family member like I'm going to do for Carolyn. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word Howie BOGO. That's one word, Howie BOGO. That's EdenPure.com with code word Howie BOGO. Shipping is free. I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is the Holly Carr Show.
Experience the amazing benefits of Superbeats. Get a free 30-day supply, free shipping, and free nitric oxide strips to test your nitric oxide levels with your first purchase when you visit www.superbeatsradio.com/Howie. That's www.superbeatsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will there be any trick-or-treating in your neighborhood this year?
I think not.
37% think there will be some form or fashion of trick-or-treating.
All right. We'll have Baker on that in a moment. But I wanted to just point out that there was a story breaking now on the Washington Free Beacon. You know, they had a town hall, so-called, for Joe Biden on NBC News last night. That was up against the Patriots game, and it was up against the Markey O'Connor debate on Channel 2. And they had undecided voters, they called them, an audience of, quote, undecided Florida voters. However, two of the undecided voters had previously declared their support for Democrat nominee Joe Biden on the network's sister channel, MSNBC. Lawyer Peter Gonzalez and marketing executive Ishmael Yano posed questions to Biden during a town hall last night when he appeared before what the network described as an audience of undecided Florida voters. Both Gonzalez and Yano, however, were featured in an MSNBC segment in August explaining why they support Biden. So this is the undecided voter said in August, if we get four more years of Trump, good luck, and good luck with the future attracting younger voters. Gonzalez said as an MSNBC Chiron noted, he was voting for Biden. Yano was also identified as voting for Biden and offered praise for the former vice president. It's just the corruption is breathtaking. It's not surprising, but it's still appalling, isn't it? 844-500-4242. You got to listen to some of these Baker cuts. We're gonna have some other stuff, and we'll come back to these in a while. This is Baker this afternoon. He's in Salem. He's giving an example of ABCC, Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission, calling on a restaurant in his neighborhood. I mean, this is what he's up to. The restaurants are going out of business still, right and left, and this is what he's into. Cut 39.
If you take the ABCC for example, if somebody calls him up and says, you know, the restaurant in my neighborhood has become a bar after 8 o'clock at night. And
oh, no.
There's a whole bunch of people who are not ordering food, who are standing, who are close quarters, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's
blah,
the sort
blah,
of thing
blah.
The ABCC would go check to determine if, in fact, that's true. Because that is what we would define as a high-risk activity.
How about groping someone on a plane? How about groping someone on a plane? Is that a high-risk activity?
Why doesn't he get any pushback on that? Why is that a high-risk activity as opposed to just sitting there and eating? What the hell is the difference?
I agree. Listen, this next one's even worse. Cut 48. Listen to this one about a barbershop.
The barbershop in my area is a barbershop during the day, but at the end of the day, it's becoming a place where a whole bunch of people are just sitting around and having drinks and talking without masks and without distancing. They would probably go take a look at that, too.
It's private property, and they're going to go in because people are talking and maybe having a drink. You're going to send in the mask police to round people up. This is a guy, again, I repeat for the millionth time, the third highest death rate in the nation, the second highest death rate in nursing homes in the nation, the sixth highest unemployment rate, formerly the first highest unemployment rate. His draconian lockdowns have produced nothing but catastrophe and calamity and hundreds of thousands of people unemployed. And he's still walking around like he's the king of the roost. He's the king of the Commonwealth, King Charles. God, it's so bad. I hope he loses any of these cases. He's up before, there's a case in federal court. There's a case before the SJC. Somebody's got to put an end to this, like they, like the Michigan Supreme Court did with Gretchen Whitmer's overreach. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Limerick guy says about Charlie Parker using the words blah, blah, blah. I can't believe this lame brain actually said blah, blah, blah while describing his idiocy on this whole situation. It's so apropos. I know. Exactly. You're right. And 508 says, do studies show that 60% of people standing at bars or sitting in barbershops talking will die like those under your supervision in nursing homes? I'm not sure it was 60%. It was more like 15%. But that's still pretty appalling. I'm unfamiliar with that study. All right. 844-500-4242. The ranked choice voting is on the ballot this year in Massachusetts. Question two, vote no on question two. People are asking me, why aren't you talking more about it? We are talking about it. We'll have Anthony Amore on, try to get him on later in the week to discuss why you should be voting no. The most prominent example of why you should vote no if you're in Massachusetts on question no is what happened in 2018 in the 2nd Congressional District in Maine. The incumbent Republican, Bruce Poliquin, a very hardworking congressman, was the victor on election night by 2,000 votes. But they have this thing, this abomination called ranked choice voting, and they kept counting the votes and counting the votes because he didn't get quite 50%, and they kept counting the votes until Dale Golden, his lackluster Democrat challenger, had won the seat, even though, again, Bruce Poliquin got 2,000 more votes than Jared Golden did. So now Jared Golden is seeking re-election. He's a tool of Nancy Pelosi's, and the Republican who was challenging him this year in the 2nd Congressional District in Maine is Dale Cates. He is a former member of the Maine House of Representatives, and he's a businessman, and we wanted to have him on the show just to talk about Dale Crafts, excuse me, I'm sorry. Dale Crafts. Dale Crafts, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, Howie, thanks for having me. I really appreciate being on.
So why should people vote for you instead of Jared Golden, who most of whom didn't vote for him the first time he ran?
Well, exactly right. You know, he votes with Pelosi nearly 90% of the time, and AOC 87% of the time, and he's really voting with the left. The difference between him and I, we served together in the legislature. We voted on the same legislation. I tell people, just look at our voting records. It's black and white. You know what? He voted. He didn't see a tax increase. That he never passed on a tax increase and voted on. We voted with Governor Paula Page when I served up there when he was governor, and we did the biggest tax decrease for the Maine people in the history of Maine, and took 70,000 people off the tax rolls. So there's a big different big difference between us. Second Amendment, I got an A+ rating. I'm a lifetime member of the NRA. He got a D rating. So really, he doesn't fit the second district. You know, we know on ranked choice voting that Poliquin got robbed of that. Another one of the Democrats' schemes to steal elections. I'll tell you, I had ranked choice voting in my primary. It took like 6 days before they declared who the winner was. And then 27 days afterwards, the Secretary of State said, oh, we lost 13,000 votes. We got to go back and recalculate it 27 days later. It's a disaster.
So your campaign lost a month of time that you could have been going door to door in a one-on-one fight with this guy, and you were still dealing with this nonsense. So what should people do in the second district, Dale Crafts? You know, because they should they vote for a second candidate, or which second candidate should they vote for, or is there a second candidate?
There's not a second candidate for me, because there will be for Susan Collins and the president. But I don't have a third candidate on the ballot, Jared Golden, which I'm glad, because I'll find out hopefully that night, you know, who the winner is. But I tell people, just vote like you always did. It worked for hundreds of years in this nation where you just vote for the person you want, plurality vote. And people are still calling me and saying, hey, what do I do? I'm getting calls now because we started doing it. Like, am I supposed to rank this? How do I rank this? People, are so confused still today with ranked choice voting, they don't really even understand it. I don't know why people need to be confused when they go in the ballot box.
So you don't. So there isn't a third. There isn't a third or a fourth candidate in your fight.
No, there's not.
Okay.
Straight up, head to head.
Okay. Yes. So you've just got to go. How's President Trump doing in the second? You know, as you know, he carried it in 2016. It was his one electoral vote that he got in the 6-state region of New England. How's he doing up there?
I think he's doing great. I mean, I'm in all over the second district, which is the largest district this side of the Mississippi, and there is Trump signs everywhere. And, you know, Jared Golden voted to impeach the president, and that's a 10-plus district that Trump won up there, and he voted against. And that shows you right there that he doesn't agree with the second district people that voted 10-plus. So, yeah, the Trump's going to win the second district big. When he called me, I tell you, it was amazing when he called me after I won the primary. He said, Dale, you did a great job. You had a tough primary. And the thing is, when I got off the phone with him, he's the ultimate optimist. He just said, no, I'm not going to win the second district. I'm going to win the whole state. He didn't want to hear anything else, but I'm going to win the whole state. That's our president who believes in making America great again. We need to reelect him. He endorsed me. Governor Paul LePage endorsed me. Congressman Dan Crenshaw just endorsed me. And the list goes on and on and on because I'm a very experienced businessman for years and years. Started multiple businesses that are successful. And I did it living in a wheelchair. I had an accident 37 years ago and managed to overcome that and to serve my state, my local town, and now a candidate for Congress. That's the American dream that people can live, and I'm living it.
Dale Crafts, where can people go if they want to learn more about your campaign?
They can go to DaleCraftsForCongress.com. It's got a lot of information. I just hope that the Second District people will really do their homework and compare the difference between Jared and I because there's a huge contrast. So DaleCraftsForCongress.com.
I think you could have been right when you said the Second Amendment people, too. No?
Well, it's true, but you know we're a huge Second Amendment up here. I carry where I go. I got the endorsement of the Sportsman Alliance of Maine. I sit on that board. I got an A-plus rating, A-plus rating NRA, and an A-plus meaning for the Gun Owners of Maine. So if they want somebody that believes in a strong, matter of fact, I put the constitutional carry legislation in. Was all part of getting that passed.
Okay, so the election, of course, is November the 3rd. It's 4 weeks from today. Dale Crafts, he is the Republican candidate in the 2nd Congressional District, the Republican district in Maine, which Trump carried easily in 2016. Give your web address one more time, Dale, before we leave.
DaleCraftsForCongress.com. DaleCraftsForCongress.com. Thank you, sir.
Dale, thanks a lot. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. DaleCraftsForCongress.com. If you haven't tried Super Beat Soft Chews, you are missing out on a really great product. You can give yourself a little bit of energy boost when you need it in the beginning of the day, when you're starting to feel a little logy after lunch or whenever. But just grab a Super Beats. They're wrapped in foil like a piece of candy. They're sweet, but they're not bad for you. They don't have caffeine. They're not loaded up with white sugar. They're just good for you. They're good for your circulation. They're good for your blood pressure, and they give you a burst of energy. Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure you need and the energy you want. It's really great. People get into the habit of taking them at certain times. I take one in the morning before I even have my first cup of coffee. Gets me wide awake. And then I take one before the show. And I've just run out. That's why I butchered a couple of names today. I didn't have any Super Beats. I'm going to get some when I go to Florida. And I'll be back up and enjoying them. Grace loves them. Taylor loves them. The VIPs love them. It's just a great product. Give it a try, and I think you'll agree. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Chews. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at superbeatsradio.com/Howie, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd one for free. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show.
We'll be right back.
This is Karen from Billerica, Massachusetts.
This is Adrian in Swanton, Vermont.
This is Miss Susan up in Warner, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. So John Brennan is trying to tap dance his way out of these latest embarrassing revelations that he was briefing Obama on Hillary's attempts to vilify the Trump campaign with false Russian disinformation that she was paying for in order to take the heat off of her own espionage scandal with the email server. So Brennan is trying to put a new spin on it. His notes, his handwritten notes released today, declassified, say that he was briefing President Obama on a proposal from one of her foreign policy advisors to vilify Donald Trump by coming up with a scandal claiming interference by the Russian security services. Again, remember the word vilify, because he's gonna come up with a new word for what he was trying to cite. And the word is highlight. Listen to this cut.
Well, John Ratcliffe is anything but an intelligence professional. It is appalling, his selective declassification of information that clearly is designed to advance the political interests of Donald Trump and Republicans who are aligned with him. But these were my notes from the 2016 period when I briefed President Obama and the rest of the National Security Council team about what the Russians were up to. And I was giving examples of the type of access that the U.S. intelligence community had to Russian information and what the Russians were talking about and alleging. Now, if in fact what the Russians were alleging, that Hillary was trying to highlight the reported connections between Trump and the Russians.
There weren't any. There weren't any connections. They were trying to vilify him. You used the right word, even if you couldn't spell it. Now you're saying they highlighted it. And I like the way he says he's not an intelligence professional. An intelligence professional. This guy voted for the Communist Party candidate, Gus Hall, in 1976. He's a boob. He's not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, as you can see. And he's just stammering through. He's busted. He may not go to prison, but he's busted as a hack. He knew what was going on, and he spent 3 years on TV. How could they put him on CNN? He was lying. He kept talking about how the walls were closing in on Trump for 3 years. He was spouting this nonsense, and now we have his notes from 2016 that he knew in 2016, even before the election, that Trump wasn't doing anything and that Hillary was trying to frame him. Good Lord. Ugh. We'll be talking more about this in the days to come. I want to play some of these cuts from Charlie Baker, and we'll take a call or two here. But Kim Driscoll is the mayor of Salem. And she is as in on this this grift as Charlie Parker is. She, like Charlie Parker, is absolutely corrupted by absolute power. Listen to Mayor Kim Driscoll talking about her downtown ambassadors this afternoon. Cut 51.
Yeah, we've got downtown ambassadors that are neighbors that we deploy on a routine basis to help remind folks about masks, pass out masks, let people know when their masks are being improperly worn. We track the number of people they see with masks on, those that are being worn properly and those that are not. And that's how we're able to create a culture where if you're in downtown, you're expected to wear a mask.
We deploy. We track people. We create a culture. That's not the kind of culture I want. As one of the people to the snitch line said, the guy from Methuen said today that I quoted in my column, bleep your new normal. Bleep your new normal. So here's Charlie Parker at his absolute shrillest today. Again, this is in Salem just a few hours ago. How many people have died from this? And I didn't kill them all. I only killed 6,000. Cut 46.
There are 200,000 people who died from this thing. And many others who didn't die because they were saved by the healthcare system.
Weren't saved by you, that's for sure.
It is a brutal, vicious disease for those it negatively impacts. And it is horribly contagious to begin with. Those are the facts.
Those are the facts. Then he oftentimes now says, period. Period. These are the facts. And now he's talking about the culture of wearing masks. Cut 45.
But the work that the mayor and her team have done to establish a culture
here. Culture.
Of wearing masks and socially distancing and recognizing and understanding the issues associated with this is pretty powerful.
It's very powerful. We can shut down a restaurant like this. We can slip them of their liquor license. You know, the barber from Michigan that's been suing the governor for all these months now, we had him on the show. When it just started, he has like two chairs in his barbershop. He's been a barber for 60 years. He was on Fox and Friends this morning, and he said, the one thing I've learned here is that in barbering, you can make you make a mistake when you don't know when to stop, when you just keep cutting your hair. He said, what I've learned about this governor, Whitmer, she doesn't know when to stop. And it's so true. She won't back down. She just keeps getting deeper and deeper. And the same thing with Charlie Parker here and his handmaiden, Kim Driscoll, the Moonbat mayor. Bill, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Howie. How you doing?
Good.
I got a card in the mail with Biden, Harris, Markey, and Pat O'Connor from Weymouth being endorsed by the AFL-CIO.
A Republican. The Republican state senator, you mean?
It's really not trying to hide it anymore. They're blatant. He's right on Parker's team, and that's it. And I wonder about Hedlund also.
Well, Hedlund's the mayor. He's in kind of a different spot in Weymouth. I think Hedlund's still got his head screwed on pretty straight, Bill. Don't you?
That was his guy in the office. He used to work for Hedlund at the state house.
I know.
So they're all, this never ends, man. These people are unbelievable. And they don't even care. They don't even hide it anymore.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe that he's this invested in this thing. He's like Whitmer, though. He doesn't know when to stop. It's over, Charlie. Do you get it? Eight people died today. Eight people. And incidentally, I went to do the daily tweet on the death chart from yesterday. There were 20 deaths yesterday in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Do you know how much the nursing home fatalities went up yesterday when the death toll increased by 20? They went up by 43. 43. I know this has happened before, but you know they're just playing around with these numbers. They've killed the daily death by age groups chart, and then they just keep randomly shifting numbers around. And they always have small death totals on Sunday when there are fewer people paying attention and it's not going to get as much play on the evening news. And then Monday it goes up. Like this Sunday it was 3, Monday it was 20. How convenient, huh? This is Baker on Halloween, and he says he's not going to kill Halloween, but ... Cut 44.
I've had a whole bunch of people say to me, why don't you just cancel Halloween? And the reason we're not canceling Halloween is because that would have turned into thousands of indoor Halloween parties, which would have been a heck of a lot worse
for public safety, no parties allowed
for the spread of the virus than outdoor, organized, and supervised trick-or-treating.
Supervised.
And I think our view on this is there are some very simple things that people can do to manage their kids and themselves with respect to Halloween outdoors that most people would agree is a heck of a lot safer than what they might choose to do as an alternative. And so we're going to put the guidance out on that, and we're going to let locals hopefully communicate that in their communities. But if people want to go beyond that, as they do in some cases, you know, that's up to them.
He's going to be the Halloween czar on top of everything else. Play cut 38 as we leave. This is Baker bragging a little more. Cut 38.
And as the mask ambassadors approached them, they saw the mask ambassadors. They pulled it up.
Do the mask ambassadors wear armbands? Do they goose step? Do they have jodhpurs on? See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.